The topic tonight, but I also think that if anyone has any, I'll leave time tonight to answer any questions that you might have. Everything's kind of, I think that's what we realize, everything is kind of, every thought process really can be turned into a teaching moment. If you think properly about it, you think into it. So I wanted to just bring up one of those topics and then spend a couple minutes on it. But then I'd like to hear some of the thoughts, questions that you might have, either on this topic or any other topic that's on your mind. But I always feel the same thing every year going into Pesach Ben Hazman. There are very few times that a person has, when you're in yeshiva, to reflect on growth. Unfortunately, the way the summers work, people are, I find often running into summer programs, camps. I always, every year, ran. The last day I was staying in yeshiva, I left 3 days early, ran to camp, and came back right after camp, went back to El. That wasn't a good time for reflection for me. And the time that I used this was Pesach Ben Hazmanim. You're finishing a long zman. Most people make it to the end, closest to the end by Pesach. There's nothing really pulling you. You can go home early. You're gonna have to clean more. So everyone's like very, very comfortable staying in yeshiva. My father had a takeout food store, and before Pesach was the hardest. Oh, he worked so hard. They must spend 18 hours a day preparing. My dad, why do you put in 18 hours a day? Why do you just close the store? He said, how much money could you make for Pesach? He said, I don't do it for Pesach, but if you close for Pesach, everyone goes to all the other stores, and who says they're coming back? You're basically closing down your business and telling them to go to all the other businesses that are open. So he had to be open, and even if it wasn't so profitable, he had to be open. Yeah. And every time he would call me up for Chodesh Nisan, to help him out when I was in yeshiva, he said, we really could use the help. I said, Dad, we don't finish this month until Hey Nisan. Hey Nisan! He used to tell every year the same thing. There's no yeshiva worth its salt that has any learning after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's what he used to always say. So, but Hey Nisan, when it was Hey Nisan, I was there working. So I stayed the latest possible time in yeshiva. but it's a very, very important to take stock. And I have 2 points about this. Okay, number one, life is not about we ourselves. So two points I want to make. First, let's talk about ourselves. A person has to say where was I at the beginning of the year, and did I accomplish anything? You take the smallest growth and say, all right, I was able to stay and with my chavrusa longer this year. I'm trying to find small pieces. You have to find areas that you did better than the previous year. You have to do it. It definitely exists. So the fact that you're in yeshiva for the year, if you can't find any comparisons, the fact that you're in yeshiva, it's so important to take away, going into Pesach, that, wow, I accomplished so much. It's so important. You don't want to go into Pesach Zman like, okay, the year's over and I didn't accomplish anything. Maybe I'll accomplish something after Pesach. After Pesach is a separate cheshbon. This was the bulk of the year at Pesach. And it's so important to take some recognition. And this, you're looking at the good. You're not looking at any cheshbon. There's not cheshbon and nefesh. Just what did I accomplish that it was good. I chazered. I never chazered before. I see the guys doing it. I'm not going to mention any names, but it happened to me a few times. I had to speak to someone in the base manage, but I was in the base manage. I'm not going to invite a guy to speak to them about something that they want to speak about, but I'm not going to invite you from learning. I'll find you in the other. I can't find sometimes guys bottling. During Seder, it's just so impressive. That what's going on, and I know when I'm, you probably say, "Oh, you should have found me at this time or this time," but it's really very impressive. A person has to take stock and see how much they grew. It's very important. It's this is not the time to prav anivus, and you don't have to pull plastering it on your front door of your dorm room. You're not running for a pimash for this with these statistics. This is just for yourself to see. Wow, I grew in this area. It's required thinking. You should write it up and put it in your wallet, because if a person doesn't do that, the human capacities do not see growth. You don't see, you know, every eighth grader looks like an eighth grader, and every 12th grader looks like an adult. So in 4 years, it's the most substantial 4 years. Yet there's not one kid who ever sees themselves growing. You just don't see it. It's not possible. So that's physical growth, spiritual growth, just being a ben l'chavero growth. People don't realize also we're maturing also. So our ability to tolerate different types of people, things that used to annoy us, don't annoy us as much as it used to. That also is a very big thing. Many times we used to get annoyed. In elementary school, most of the teachers have to deal with petty fights most of the day. So I assume the same thing was true with us. When we were in second grade, third grade, we were fighting with our friends, and they called me a name, and then there are physical fights in school and preschool and younger grades. But there are no fights. In high school, there's barely a fight. I don't think there's been a fight. So that could get dangerous. So kids in high school get a fight. Every so often there's a scuffle, two guys get into it, but it's rare. It's not even every year. Maybe once every 3 years is not a big fight, but like two kids like put each other for a second. But just think of that. There's no fights, in which we have to take stock that we grew, that we're people who can mesh. You know, makes a very big difference. It'll make a very big difference. Yeshiva, we're taught that tolerance is a good thing, to be able to tolerate somebody else's annoyances in the dorm. You leave a guy in a dorm, the guy's crazy, comes in, doesn't know sensitivities and this, that, and you don't berate him and you don't embarrass him in public and you deal with it. I used to find that if a guy in the dorm would get under my skin, it means I wasn't learning too good. If I was learning shtark, nothing will bother you. When you learn shtark one day, you come into that guy could be so, you know, out of it and be so disturbing, it won't bother you. But when it's all these things bother you, the way to go about it is not tell the guy he's an oisvarf, even though he probably is. You just work on your learning. You work on learning, you just feel good about it. So the reason why it's important is because you see, if you don't take stock of it, you just won't realize it. That's the first piece. I don't want to belabor the point, although if anyone wants to question some parts of that, we can in a second, but I just want to do the second part. The second part of this, why it's very important, and I suspect one of the Rebbeim will bring this to your attention, but I have to be careful how I say this. It shouldn't come out the wrong way. I could see it coming out the wrong way, and I didn't prepare how to exactly say it, so just make sure before you, if you're leaving now, you have to wait till I finish explaining. I need a minute and a half to explain exactly what I mean. Okay, most of us are going home. Could be not all of us, but most of us are going home. And very often, our parents also have not had a chance to see us. And the nature of kids that they don't need their parents to see the growth. They should be very happy. I'm very happy myself. I don't need them nosing down my thing. Oh, you learned more. You didn't learn more. I don't need them looking down my anything. Don't notice me. I don't want to be noticed. But it's very important when a person goes home for Pesach vacation, it's so important that their parents see some of that good also. They need to see that. A person can't come home. Okay, it's not my vacation time. And you come home and you're just like, first thing you do is you get into all the clothes you haven't worn, and then you just want to just chill, and you're sleeping, and but your feet up on the couch, and you'll clean later. I'm working all year. I have 5 days. Stop bugging me. You know, of course, that I'm exaggerating a little bit, but if our parents see us, so to speak, first time under a shtickl, with a little time, not just a Shabbos Hanukkah, so like they're also taking stock, and I think we owe it Hakaras HaTov to them. We owe Hakaras HaTov to not just show them that we're on vacation. You have to take a little time to do things right.
I'm not trying to be like that guy, but it is also far that maybe our parents should also see our way a little bit, that talk of like we are home for like.
Yeah, I'm going to address that now, but I just want to make sure it's not what I just said is not taken the wrong way. I'm not asking for anyone to fraud and fake, and that's not what I mean. You have to impress your parents. I should have prepared this point. That's not what I mean. I hope you didn't take it that way. But it is important. If I don't know what's doing at home. Every person has different matzav, so I'm going to just throw out a couple of minor suggestions that if you use it, it's very good. Okay, I'm just going to throw it off the top of my head. If you have a younger sibling, you could offer it to, you know, just offer it to, if they want. You know, okay, what are you learning? Assuming you don't know what they're learning. You could offer to learn with them, you know, twice over Pesach or more. You could, if you want to start finish, let's say a Masechta Mishnayos. You say, would you be interested in learning Mishnayos and a Mishnah day with me? I'm doing Mishnah day. I'm going through Hilchos Pesach. I'm going through Musar. You know, there are so many things you could do with a younger sibling, boy or girl, that was so meaningful, and It's powerful. Younger siblings is much easier. Older siblings, okay, it's their job. They should offer you. But parents also. A father also. If a person, okay, if you think your father would appreciate it, you could say, I'm trying to do this. Would you want to do it? You know, I'm doing a Mishnah, the same thing. You do it with a parent. It does not take a lot of time. You could do it three times over Pesach. I'm doing it four. I made a schedule of doing it four times. Would you want to do it four times if you want to keep it, you know, even because you can go through a whole pace and go through 2 weeks. You can be home for more than 2 weeks. And other than the meals, you just don't have any significant time. If there are a lot of other siblings there, so like you can go through the 2.5 weeks and then, okay, I'm going to the airport or we're not leaving. There's nothing meaningful time. They want to spend the time, but it's not, Pesach is not always. It's not always practical because it's too busy, and you don't only want to be significant when it's time to help either prepare for a meal or clean up or take out the garbage or clean your room. You want to spend a little time with something meaningful, so you offer that. It make a very, very big difference. So again, so the chaz rover, now I'm finished my piece. You can either ask questions or bring up your own things. I was saying that it's very important to for ourselves to establish areas of some growth. And if you're not the type, you don't want to make Cheshbon Nefesh how it was, I don't remember how it was. So just look at areas that were successful. Okay, and if you can't think of anything, the fact that you've been in yeshiva is write them down. I did this, I accomplished this, I accomplished that, it was this. It was just an amazing thing to know that you be able to capture three things on a piece of paper that I wouldn't have done had I not been in yeshiva. It's powerful. Powerful.
Why?
And
what
because the human nature is not to see growth. It's human nature. So we just go through like, you don't see physical growth, and it's natural you would not see spiritual growth either. And spiritual growth, I think there's a Rav or a Tosas Yontif, Perkei V, and it says that there was a Tana who was speaking that he was on a boat and he wasn't able to purchase a ticket in the coach, so he was only able to get into the cargo area where all the suitcases were. So he was sleeping amongst the cargo, and one of the people from first class came down and saw this schlepper sleeping amongst the cargo. And I apologize because it's being recorded,
sure, yes,
but he but he urinated on this guy.
That's not legal.
Like, wow, such a schlepper, is a urinating on him. And this Tana, who's writing the Maisa, I realized at that moment, when he did that despicable, humiliating, degrading act to me, that when I didn't get angry, I realized that I had grown so much in my Iris Hashem and in my Midah Be'an B'Chavero, not to eradicate Kas. So I realized that I grew in Ruchnius, and he says that was the happiest day of my life. You realize I'm answering your question. You asked a little bit also why a person should do it. He says it was the happiest day of his life. Somebody urinated on him. I know it's being recorded. Somebody urinated on him. And it was the happiest day of your life. Do you realize what kind of life we're going to have? If we could get ourselves to get up or get down for moments that capture our growth, there's nothing that's going to make us upset ever. Nothing. The guy got urinated on. It was the happiest day of his life. If you hear that story, stop, you think the guy's deranged. How could that be the happiest day of your life? Because it made him realize that he grew significantly in his quest to be a Baal Midos. He worked very hard on Kas, and he didn't get angry. So this powerful is so powerful. Even if you skip everything else I said, it's so powerful for ourselves just to realize that. When I was single and learning in Queens, so I came back for Pesach, and I wanted to do something meaningful, because I went through so many years of you know, that trip back to yeshiva, 2.5 weeks, where you got negative growth in 2.5 weeks, you gained 6 pounds, and all the siddurim that you're gonna do, you didn't do one of them. I didn't learn a word, I didn't do a thing. I got, oh my gosh, it was terrible. So some days you have to, okay, the first day I get back, I'm gonna do this. So I think 2 years I did this following. I called up my manal, who was my high school manal, by Bash from Kamenetz. And the day I got back to my house, Benazmanim, I called him up, Rebbe, I'm gonna be here now for almost 3 weeks. I have such a karas hatov to yeshiva, what they did for me. If there's one kid, there's one kid in town who would benefit from learning with an older guy, no charge, I'll learn with him over Pesach. So for 2 years, I learned with this 10th grader. I learned with him every day. He wanted to learn with me every day. Yontif, I learned with every Yontif. Cholomei, we made a time to learn with him. And that was it. I didn't have much to do. Just we met at Kamenetz, and I learned with him. It was like 2 blocks from my house. And what happened was, that one day by Mincha here, a few years ago, the guy was davening Mincha, and he said to me, he says, you know, Rabbi Palgon, yeah, do you remember me? So I looked at him, no recollection, you know. So, no, he wasn't really bowling, he was in his 30s, whatever. So he said, or 40s, I don't know. So he said, you learned with me Pesach time. I remember the name. Oh, you're what is it? Says yeah. So I want to tell you, my parents had just gotten divorced. My life was messed up. I didn't know where I was living. And I had no friends in yeshiva. It was the lowest time in my life. And when I learned with you that Pesach, it was just so amazing. Now I didn't think anything of it. First of all, I had been in Chofetz Chaim already since Kamenetz, like 5.5 years, and I couldn't believe they had already done by Pesach like 48 blot in Ian. In Ian, they had done like over 40 blot. I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I went to that yeshiva. But 48 blot, you know, Pesach time. And so I wanted to learn with him, you know, Ian. So, you know, but you know, he remembered this like 30 years later. It gave him such joy. But the truth is, it gave me a lot of joy, because after Pesach, I felt I accomplished something. 2 years, I did something over Pesach. So if anything you want to do over Pesach, the first day of Bein HaZmanim, the time to start it, is not the second day. The first day, you just implement, you execute, all your systems go. Whatever works, works. Whatever doesn't work, won't work. Just do it. Yeah, I call this one, I call that one, do it, and done. you want to make a chavrusa with someone, just do it. Don't wait. I'll do it after 2 days. After 2 days, you're done. You're done punching in. You're done. You're cooked. You're cooked. It's over. It's over. Just right away. You got to get started right away. I go to L.A. for a couple of weeks in the summer, visit my children. So I have a chavrusa. So we during the summer, we learn from like 9:30 to 12. So 9:30 to 12. So when I'm in L.A., guess what? 9:30 to 12 is 6:30 to 10. So I learn with him 6:30 to 10. I daven at a 10 to 6 minyan, and I learn with him 6:30 to 10. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know I'm in L.A. I don't tell him. I know if I don't learn with him, if I don't learn with my chavrusa, oh yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll learn, you know, later. I'll daven at 8 o'clock minyan, at 9:30. I'm gonna learn 12 by myself, you know, in L.A. You know, like, not gonna work. So you just gotta stick together. I always feel so good, like, wow, you could figure that out. If you could figure out how to accomplish during Ben Azmanim, then don't overdo it. Say I'm doing 6:30. I have to prepare for Shir for next year. So if I don't prepare, I'm in big trouble. So that's what's recommended. I mean, growth, and to set up something that you accomplish Ben Azmanim, and try to include family members. Something, do something to show them that, you know, I'm not just, you know, simply get up, go daven. Makes no difference what time the minyan is. You get up, you know, not saying, oh, I need a break. You need a break. Take the break in yeshiva. Don't take the break at home. They can't handle that. You know, at one time you can, but don't go with the mentality, I'm on vacation now, don't bother me. You we got to do it. Okay, so I'm stopping the talk. Questions, comments, thoughts, disagreements, or you could bring up a new topic also.
Rabbi was saying about the growth. What if could Rabbi like say that point again, the fact that let's say a person feels like there's something, like you can't think of anything, what should you think about in general?
If you can't think of anything, just call a friend and say, I'm working on this project. You know, you call a Rebbe or a friend, they'll probably come up with like 10 things. If you can't think of it, then you had growth. Because it means you're being too honest or an anav. But if you can't see it for yourself, ask someone if you think that you grew in any area. Or Rebbe. Usually there is, it's usually obvious to our friends. It's usually obvious. But it may not be obvious to us, so. If you need to put something down on that paper, three things down. Okay.
What are the three?
And don't write that, you know, you polished your shoes twice this year, more than last year. don't be lame about it. You got to go after the top three areas.
Was Ravi saying that when you don't have, when you have a good day, let's say, Seder, and something else bothers you, so then it means you didn't have a good day, or that was like a personal thing that hurt yourself?
I meant specifically the dorm.
Oh. So, it, meaning as
roommates.
Like, as roommates or like people in that, as long as you're like random other people.
You know, it's just good to know, usually things of roommates are, they're irritables. They're not me. I'm not talking about a major upsetness, like, oh my gosh, I'm so frustrated, I broke my arm. I'm not talking about something like that. I'm talking about things that can be classified as, it's the irritables. It's the people that just annoy you. When you get annoyed, it's usually on a good day it doesn't bother you. On a bad day, I'm just irritable. So.
On a good day, a lot of things won't bother you, but doesn't
right.
mean if something happens.
Yeah, it's not absolute.
What?
I didn't mean it to be as an absolute.
No, but it is true that when you have.
Oh yeah, bring it out. Yeah, bring it all out. Pull all of it out. Yeah. I meant that small little things usually come out when we're not on our game. And one way to
all the open bottles for sure.
No, all the closed bottles also.
More important, the open bottles.
What?
It's fine. No.
That's a slush.
It's okay.
No, wait. It's a slush.
I don't know more about the
mouth. Sorry. Give me this.
No. That's slush. That has slush in it.
See, like this.
This one has slush. This one doesn't have slush. No, it's not slushy.
But it's slushy or not?
What else, guys? What else?
I don't care. I want them to know. I want slushy.
What's the opposite problem? Someone that's like mama steigy.
Love you, Jenna.
Doing Beilasvan and they're like, sometimes like your family has to push you a little bit to go on like the Beilasvan trip that you don't want to go on. Yeah, Tia did go like smoking.
Bina's Manifold Money Trip is part of the Onish that everyone has to go through.
Kapara.
I'm being funny. You have to go on a Holomai trip with your family. It's a requirement. You don't have to go every single day, but you have to spend some time with that, even though it's just one of those things that you do. There is benefit for spending time together. Believe it or not, there is benefit.
What was everybody saying, the benefit of your family seeing your growth also?
Yeah, but sometimes it's the opposite. If a guy's away all year, like last time they saw him was when he was in 11th grade, and he comes back now a year and a half later, and he's on vacation, he's 3 days, so like, I'm on vacation, you know, lock your door, turn on the music, loud, you know, wake up 11 o'clock, or something like that, he needs a break, you know, so they can get the wrong impression. This guy is an over-chill, he's overcompensating. Yeah.
Are they right?
They're not right, no, they're not right. They're probably thinking that he needs a break, but you just want to establish certain ground rules for yourself, you know. Pick a minion that you want to go to that's doable. You're better off doing the later minion. Don't try and be the first, you know, 7 a.m. minion. Dive in a 9 o'clock minion if you're a Zocha to be in a place that is 9 o'clock minion. And you're in Kew Gardens, you're lost Christ. So Kew Gardens is unfortunately primitive still. The lattice minion is 8 o'clock, right? 8 o'clock for ladies minion, I know. But... But it's important. Establish some ground rules for yourself and live by it. But you should be able to relax over Yom Kippur. Hashkama. Have a sense of humor. I was just reading the Reb Dov Feinstein book. He was in the hospital. He was very weak, and someone went to visit him, and he said, the Chazal say, Altiya birchas hedyut kal beinecha, and Rashiva never got a bracha from such a hedyut, so I want to give Rashiva bracha. So he gave a bracha. Altiya birchas hedyut kal beinecha. Then he came back again the next day, and he told Rav Dov Feinstein a vort. So Rav Dov Feinstein was still very weak. They couldn't hold the sefer. He said, with that vort, you just killed your birchas hedyut. So, like he was holding in the joke. That's impressive to me. Yeah, Dov Feinstein, like, you know, he was just kibitzing with the guy. So, yeah, people should be pleasant. People should enjoy your company. That's why I enjoyed so much about the Dov Feinstein book. Like, he was always in a good mood. He was in a happy mood. You know, someone asked him if they some kind of, can they make a, they finished a Mishnayis, a Masech to Mishnayis, and he wanted to make a kibud, you know, cholent, you know, soda. So they asked him, Feinstein, you know, or someone asked, is it appropriate to make a siyum for a Masech to Mishnayis? So Rodon Feinstein evidently was there. When, you know, after shul one day, it was only someone pulled out his stuff. He finished a Masech Mishnayos. So Dov Feinstein said that Golus is so overwhelming. is so overpowering. All calamities, all the things that go wrong in our lives, hardships, all stem from the Churban Bayis. It's all an out, something that emanates from the Churban somehow. So it's therefore, he says in Gullus, any excuse you can do to bring Simcha is kedai. So yeah, you should make a siyum on Mishnayos. I didn't ask whether you should make a kaddish. I don't know. I didn't ask that question. But in just in terms of the, it's appropriate to, okay, you did something, you want to make a thing, because of the hate. Guy right. Wants to make a, yeah.
What about halal and yom ha'atzmaut? You say halal and
yom ha'atzmaut. What about it?
I'm not sure that sushi's still there. We usually, it usually comes out during Bahab. We usually say slichas then. That's how it usually ends up.
So back to before, we were saying about the, like, if you're having a bad day, you need to work on your learning and, like, make your learning better.
Yeah, when a person feels accomplished, if it's not learning, it could be something else.
Let's say your learning's not going well that day. Unless you're tired or whatever, or something. You're working on covers the situation. I don't know, so you're just very adamant for the week.
It's too personal.
So what do you do for that week? Like, it's hard to improve your learning. So you're just supposed to, like, be in a bad mood for the next week, or?
Take it out on your dorm mate. Yeah, there are times where things are hard. We go through hard times. You would end up with a chavrusa shop that's not working out, or it's just like it's too much for you. Or you could end up with a chavrusa that's you thought was going to be perfect, but he's too strong. He never takes a break, and it can be very, very hard. I remember two good guys. They're both Roshivas today. Just you should know, they were learning in Queens, in Forest Hills, and they were learning Bekiyas together. I was sitting nearby, that's how I know the story. And one guy says to the other, they just finished the Tosfos, goes, okay, weiter. So he says, okay, I'll be with you in a second. He goes, no, we gotta go weiter. He says, I'll be with you in a second, I just wanna just chazer in my head to summarize that Tosfos. He says, no, we can't do that. We're not gonna finish our quota. So he says, just 30 seconds, I need 30 seconds. He says, you do that every single Tosfos, 30 seconds, it adds up. We have to go weiter. So he says, you can't do 30 seconds? He says, no. Said, okay, fine. I'll be out with you. I'm just going to go to the bathroom. He goes, okay. And then he doesn't leave. So the guy says, I thought you were going to the bathroom. He says, I was going to the bathroom, but instead of going to the bathroom, I'm going to think about the Tosfos for 30 seconds. This is a true story. So the guy got so angry. Like, he flipped his Gemara, he flipped up in the air, and he walked out of the basement and slammed his Gemara. So, I'm just saying that there are situations come up in learning with chavrusas, and I'm telling these two guys are chashuv people. They're chashuv people. Huh?
Is that right?
Me? No.
I don't know the story.
Huh?
No way.
I was laughing so hard, I was sitting at the next table. It was the funniest story. So, me? That wouldn't happen. First of all, I would never ask my chavrus permission. I would have been out of there so fast. You know, that wouldn't happen to me. But,
what do you do with that type of chavrus?
You know,
that doesn't let you, like,
probably the best thing is to have a conversation with him, not during learning, to have a conversation with him. Like, I'm very impressed. You know, you're such a, you know, tzaddik and masmid and everything. I'm going crazy. I can't handle it. So I think what I need is, this is what I need. If I could have, I take a, in addition to the break we always take, I needed 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, and then I'll be good. Just figure out what you need and just tell them. Don't spar like that. But I'm saying things happen. You can't control it. See, sometimes you just have to roll with the punches. You can't.
Wait, did he come back through every year?
What scenarios are we talking about? Where you're just not learning well?
Yeah,
you're just like not in the mood.
Yeah, where you should push yourself a little bit harder. In situations where you can push yourself a little harder, you'll see. And it doesn't have to be only in learning. A person could feel accomplished by doing a chesed with someone. There are a lot of ways to do good things, even if your learning is not going well. There are things that could be done that make you feel accomplished. But when we feel we're accomplished, when we're growing, we're doing something that's meaningful, it makes us feel good that we accomplished. It gives us the ability to withhold. I remember one time I was going into Rosh Hashanah. I think I was branching in Miami. So I wanted to do, you know, somebody must have given a speech that you should do something small. So I said, you know what? Since my bar mitzvah, I don't think I ever had my shul in check, but I never, there were parts of my ritzuas that were really supposed to be blacker. So I went to this farm store and I bought one of these black markers, and I spent like an hour on Erev Rosh Hashanah. After all the davening, I fixed up my tefillin that, you know, and finally. Now, I know it's no big deal. I was there by myself, and I blackened the tefillin, you know, the Shem Mitzvah tefillin, and I did that. But I felt like, wow, I did something. I only did it for a mitzvah. I wasn't showing it off. Nobody was looking at my tefillin. No one told me I had to be fixed. I'm not sure halachically if it was no good. It was just like I made it more mudder to fix it up. A person could just do something, you know, meaningful. All the gemachs that people do, you know, you could a lot of things a person could do when the learning is not going well. You want to, you know, feel like accomplished. Like help someone else out, help them feel better, get somebody a book they like or an article they like or a song that they like. You just feel like you're not for yourself. Sometimes, okay, I'm going through a hardship, but I can make the other person feel much better, and his learning gets better.
Does it work the other way too? That like if your learning's not going well, you could put yourself in a good mood from outside factors. You know, I don't know, like alcohol. Do something with your roommates, fun or whatever, and then it'll add a thing into learning also.
Yeah, it could be also. Yeah, but I was speaking specifically that it's almost like a gauge. A person can know when certain things bother them that don't usually bother them, rather than thinking that like something's wrong with you or something became really wrong with them. It could be nothing. Don't get too excited about it. They go together, you know? They go together. You know, certain things that don't usually bother you will bother you now. It's probably a reason for it. I'm in a bad mood. Just tell you, I'm in a bad mood. I'm consumed. Is it an excuse? No, it's not really an excuse. A person should be, you know, have a certain equanimity that he's could always in a good mood. I'd be the ideal, wow, the perfect person. Okay, David Feinstein, they say like he was just always in a great mood. And he wasn't like Mr. Talk, he didn't speak too much. You know, they say at a Moetzes Gedolia Torah, they had a whole big meeting. They insisted that he comes. It was a 2.5 hour meeting. And at the, he didn't say one word. So at the end of the meeting, they asked, and what does Rosh Yeshiva of MTJ have to say about this? What does he think? So he said, you really want to know what I think? I said, yeah, we want to know what Rosh Yeshiva thinks. So I think it's man ichel, we have to bench, otherwise in 2 minutes you're not going to be able to bench. That's the only thing he said the whole time. So, you know, He didn't feel like he to be there is one thing. I can't say I understand that. Mahalach, when he spoke, he had something to say, and just by what they say, it was a certain equanimity. It's always in a Yeah, it could be. They say by 9/11. This I have a chaver who was in MTJ when this happened. That when 9/11 hit, they started saying Tillim, and. And then Rav Feinstein stayed by his table and was learning. So somebody ran over to him and said, should we say Tillim? He says, yeah, say Tillim. Say Tillim. And he continued learning. They were saying Tillim. So after they finished saying Tillim, somebody had the temerity to go over to him and ask him if the Rashiva thought we should say Tillim, how come the Rashiva was learning and didn't say Tillim? So he said, and I don't understand this fully. He said, the truth is the biggest chus is to learn. That's the biggest chus. But many people, when there's something they don't, it's hard for them to learn to, with that inspiration. And I felt I was able to do it, so I was learning with that kivun. But many people can't do that, so we say tilim. But really, etzem learning is a bigger, which makes sense, is another thing. But sometimes when there's something going on, we get everyone together, and we say some tilim because, you know, people get inspired through tefillah also. So we try not to do these things during. We try etzem not to take away from learning etzem because the learning is a bigger source, but. You know, that's the basics. That someone answers your yes.
Let me say something about when you're down, helping someone else. Why does helping someone else? I mean, I know it's true, but why is that true?
No, I think the pshat is that olam chesed yibana. So they said the biggest schus. The biggest schus, or so Reb Dov Feinstein said. It says. A tzedaka, just a stam is a schus. Let's say someone is needs a yeshua on something. So he said, it says tzedaka tatzel mimavis. But it also says another pasuk that chesed is the bigger yeshua. So he says, so the biggest inyan is to do tzedaka, but also do chesed. So if you do, let's say you have an ani, you give tzedakah, and then you talk to him, make him feel better. That's ideal. So generally speaking, chesed is a very big thing. So that's a very good thing to do if a person is not able to learn. So a person can give tzedakah, you just give one of your pockets, and that doesn't do as much for you. The act happens really quick. But chesed, you know, gives the person chias, and he feels much better.
This accomplishment feeling, does it help guys to go learn more? Meaning, if they're having trouble learning, the fact that they feel accomplished, does that help them learn more?
The Stipler used to say that the biggest reason why people aren't matzliach in yeshivas and leave is not because they're not being matzliach tremendously. It's because they feel the Yitzhar chaps them and they feel low, that they're not accomplishing, they're not worthy. Of staying in yeshiva. Who might have stayed in yeshiva? They leave yeshiva. But it has nothing to do with the fact that they're not accomplishing. They are accomplishing a lot, but they don't realize it. And it sort of gets them to feel like they're worthless and they're not roy to be in yeshiva. So he said most people leave yeshiva for that reason.
I'm saying stamos, like, let's say someone told me, like, they work out, they did 50 push-ups, it made them feel accomplished, then I don't know if that would help them learn or not. Is that, they feel like I feel accomplished in yeshiva, like I did something for the day, you know, like, but that, learning, I not necessarily.
I think that is a big accomplishment. The person works out,
yeah, I'm saying they feel
do
good.
50 push-ups, that's very worthy. While he's in yeshiva, he didn't do that when he was in yeshiva. But he knows that if he does that, he can learn better also. He has a good kavana for it.
Doesn't it take
amazing.
The focus off of, like, the learning? Like, yeah. If I feel accomplished every time I do something, then why do I have to learn to be in yeshiva?
You know, the worst thing is to, a person shouldn't burn out. It's like, so I'm not saying you shouldn't keep his siddurim, but it's not healthy to burn out.
It's not healthy to cool off either,
no? No, but the bigger concern is that a guy has to pace himself. You know, you don't want to sprint. You don't go into sprinting in the first mile of a 25-mile marathon. You start sprinting to get the lead, but you're going to collapse by mile three. So it's a long race. Life is a long race, and you want to be able to. You have to know yourself. First, has to know themselves. He has to pace themselves properly, and when he needs a break. You know, he takes the break. So we normally try to be machmer on the side of being mekel when we're younger. And, you know, as we get older, we could add on things, but, you know, a person has to also be